The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of Those Burn Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the rogue cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part two of a three-part series. We are taking a look at the second half of the level zero cards. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Bless Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. Special thanks to Dennis, the latest patron to embrace the darkness. Thank you very much, Dennis, for your support. It is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to be an awesome member of the community like Dennis and support the channel's goals, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part two of our review of the rogue cards in the revised core set. We're kicking things off with Talent Hard Knocks. It's a two-cost asset with a combat and agility skill icon talent trait. As a free triggered ability, spend one resource, you get plus one combat for this skill test. And as a free triggered ability, you may spend one resource, you get plus one agility for this skill test. Either of those boosts can be helpful to Skids and or Wendy.
Yeah, and Wendy, this is a pretty decent way to deal with swarms of rats if you need to. Sometimes you don't want to evade them. You just want to ping them off and be done with it. So it can be nice in those situations. And with Skids, being able to spend like one resource, go up to a four and then commit an overpower or something like that, maybe go up to a seven with a gun or a weapon, that could be pretty decent as well to help you tackle the Ghoul Priest later in the game. And maybe you want to spend one resource with Wendy or with Skids to get to that plus two range out of Grasping Hands. So it can be decent in those situations as well. I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay as well. To be honest, I like the willpower boosters a bit more. So in Skids' case, I'm a bigger fan of physical training because when you really want to pass something, it's often a willpower test. So I personally would run physical training over Hard Knocks and Skids. And I think I'd run Dig Deep over Hard Knocks and Wendy for a similar reason. I think it's just because willpower is such a that can really shut you down. So those two talents feel like they can really, really save you. Less so Hard Knocks, I'd say.
Yeah, I think I've run Hard Knocks in Skids, and again, like many of the talents, I think it's a one of in some decks, and in other decks it's doesn't make the cut. I know that once your card pool expands and you get to Jenny, who is all about spending money to pass skill tests, a lot of the talents are a lot more appealing. There are two upgrades for Hard Knocks. The level 2 upgrade, which is free, is in the Return to the Knight of the Zealot product. And the level 4 upgrade, which enters play with the two resources that replenish themselves, is in the Lair of Dagon. So if you're looking to upgrade your Hard Knocks, those are the packs you need to go to. Again, usually, as with most of the talents, these are better sort of later game, mid to late game, once you've got yourself set up and you're not spending all of your money on expensive assets, then you can get these talents down and boost your skill tests a little bit. How would you rate this card?
I think I'd probably give it either a zero or an Elder Thing. You know, I think this talent, sort of like Matastrophic said, you probably want physical training or Dig Deep over Hard Knocks in the two investigators that can take those cards.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Elder Thing. It just seems like, of the talents, if I have a choice, it's not going to be Hard Knocks. It could also be because, in a way, combat and agility kind of do the same thing. They help you deal with enemies. At least with some of the other talents, you know, especially the willpower ones, they help you deal with treacheries, and then physical training also helps you deal with enemies. It helps you tackle two problems. Where it seems like Hard Knocks, those two stats are like kind of conflicting with each other.
I think I'm going to give this one a zero simply because I do really like the new art on the new Hard Knocks. A great.
Ooh, I haven't seen the new art yet.
of Wendy by Alexander Kartz. Not the drinking art of the old core set, but a nice picture of Wendy. And yeah, I agree. It's you're with Hard Knocks. You're basically going all in on the two skills that help you manage enemies. And it's not really necessary to have both. Having a willpower would be nice to replace one or the other. And in that case, you're probably going for a different skill altogether if you're playing Skids. You've got physical training, or if you've got Wendy, you've got Dig Deep. But yeah, I don't really have a problem with this card. If you're playing an offensive version of Skids and you want combat to deal with enemies and then to fall back on that agility if necessary, there are a lot worse cards you could play in the revised core. So if somebody showed up at the table with one of these in their deck, I wouldn't be too surprised. The next card in the box is Elusive. It is our first event. It is a two-cost event with intellect and agility skill icons. The tactic trait, fast, play only during your turn. Disengage from each enemy engaged with you and move to a revealed location with no enemies. The ability to move to any revealed location on the board is extremely powerful, and this will literally break certain scenarios once you get past the core set.
This card is quite good in scenario 2 of the core set campaign. We had mentioned in our Skids review that Skids is able to get a lot of actions done in a single turn, and Elusive allows him to essentially grab a bunch of enemies, bring them to a remote location, and then for 2 resources, get the heck out of there and move all the way across the map. It's really quite amazing. And as Man from Lang was saying, it is quite literally game-breaking in certain scenarios. There's really just not a lot to say about this card. It generates so many actions for free. It's quite ridiculous.
When it works out. Now, my experiences have been that it doesn't always work out perfectly. One thing to note is that when you use Elusive, you disengage from the enemies. That does not exhaust them, which means if you're at a location with a pal and you disengage from the enemies, they go to the other guy. It's not always what you want. You don't always want to be handing off your enemies to your friend. So it can get a little... It's the nuances, the restrictions that make Elusive... It's not a one and done, this is always amazing. It's you got to work at it a little bit. You got to find the situations where Elusive is pretty great, and they're not always going to show up every game. Another thing about Elusive is that the requirement that you go to a revealed location with no enemies, there are a decent amount of scenarios, particularly in the Dunwich Legacy campaign, where backtracking is not what you want to do. Perfect example, Essex County Express. Backtracking, bad. Don't do that. So if you're always moving forward, which is a good thing, if you're doing well at a scenario and you're moving forward into new locations each time, Elusive is not really going to help you out, because you know you'll backtrack, but that enemy is still there, and you got to go back through them again. Maybe you need manual dexterity in that case.
There can also be situations where, you know, say like your gun runs out of ammo and you need to be able to play another one, and Elusive can put you in a location with no enemies so you can play your weapon and then move back in and shoot. So I think another thing with Elusive is to not be greedy with it, because even if it generates 2 actions, like that can be literally game saving.
Plus, it lets you set up for a dynamite blast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess all I'm saying is that it's very good. But as a frequent rogue player, there have been quite a few games where Elusive ends up sitting in my hand. So don't expect it to do everything.
Yeah, I think in my experience, it's usually as a solo player, it's not so much the enemies I'm worried about. It's the revealed locations that are the problem. And it's very conditional on the map that you're playing. If you're playing something like The Gathering, you're generally moving forward toward an end goal, and so you probably don't have a location revealed that you really want to go to until the very end. But in scenarios like the Midnight Masks, where you have a lot of locations that begin on the table and you've got lots of options to choose from once the game has progressed a little bit and you've revealed some of those locations, the ability to duck out and move somewhere else, clear across the map is very helpful. But yeah, there are quite a few scenarios that you'll encounter as you dig a little bit deeper into the game where they are very linear and you're progressing forward and going back is not really an option. And so elusive's value really drops pretty quickly. And I mean, the icons are nice, but they're, again, like Nate says, you typically want two of one rather than one and one. One and one just doesn't quite do enough to get you over the hump most of the time. I do like this card. I played a lot of it when the core set was released. I don't play it all that much anymore, but there are certain scenarios where if you can get it in your deck, and rogues do have a way with adaptable from the Dunwich Legacy where you can sub in a level zero card pretty easily into your deck. Picking up elusive for a scenario is not that difficult to do. How would you rate this one?
I think for me, this gets a pretty solid plus one. I can think of a lot of situations where elusive can be really handy, and having this in your back pocket when those situations come up is really quite helpful.
Yeah, I'd give it a plus one as well. It is definitely above average, and I think you could do a lot worse than having one elusive in your deck. I think too elusive is probably a bit too much, because I just sense elusive being clutch like once per scenario at max. Two per scenario, man, you're doing a lot of retreating. I don't know what's going on with your game.
Yeah, I think in those linear scenarios in multiplayer, elusive might not be too bad if you're using, say, Skids or Wendy to pin down the enemies somewhere and hold them back while the other players progress forward, and then it's easy for you to catch up by, say, playing elusive and dumping all the enemies further away. So even if they have Hunter, you've got a pretty good head start on them. So as long as the rest of the group can sort of keep progressing forward, you're in a pretty good spot. I think this one's a plus one for me. I've had a lot of fond memories of playing this card and doing some pretty wonderful things with it. Once you get into some of the other scenarios, there are some pretty interesting tricks that you can use this card that aren't immediately obvious, because it does have that fast keyword, and you can pull off some pretty intricate plays that are not immediately obvious. But this is a good one. The next card is Backstab. It is a 3-cost event with combat and agility skill icons. The tactic trait: fight. This attack uses agility instead of combat. This attack deals +2 damage. I believe this is the first card of relatively few still in the game that allows you to substitute your agility instead of your combat. And +2 damage is pretty fantastic. That kills an awful lot of enemies. I think the biggest problem with this card is just the price. 3 resources can be pretty stiff sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. There are times when you may spend your resources on, say, physical training or dig deep to pass that frozen fear test, and then you need to be able to kill a 3 health enemy, and all of a sudden you find yourself with only 2 resources. That can be a difficult situation, but Backstab is a card that gains a lot of stock as you grow your collection, as there becomes a common theme that 3 health enemies are sort of the new 2 health enemies. Mm-hmm. So you need to be able to deal 3 damage, and being able to do that in a single action is probably the most efficient you're going to get, at least at level 0.
This card it's okay. It is very expensive for what it does. I do think that Backstab suffers, you were mentioning, as your card pool expands, that I think other options that have come since are just, like, maybe not categorically stronger, but stronger than Backstab. I'm thinking Cheap Shot from the Winifred Habit McStarter deck, and I think somewhere in Carcosa, because that adds 2 stats to your fight check. May not do as much damage, but it adds 2 stats, you know, for the cost of playing an event and spending some resources. Like, personally, I like looking at those first for events, because you're more likely to get the attack to land because you're adding two stats. That's kind of the problem with backstab is you often have to spend three, and then you're going to feel like you're going to need to boost it even further. So if you're relying on, say, hard knocks or, you know, or so, like, you're looking at five or six cost just to, like, get this thing to land. And that can be kind of rough.
For me, it's often the price tag on this one is usually I end up a resource. I always seem to end up a resource short or two resources short, or I end up with an enemy and I have zero resources. And then you've got this long, slow build up as you try to gain enough resources in order to backstab them. I think this one is in Wendy, it's one of the few ways she has of really dealing with enemies that have a lot of health. The pressure on her resources isn't nearly as severe as I think with Skids, where he wants to spending his resources on extra actions. Wendy doesn't have nearly as many targets for her resources, so if you can save some up for this, you can generally take it out entirely or possibly set it up if you've got a baseball bat, if you're going that route. So you backstab it once and then swing your baseball bat and kill the thing. There is a level 3 upgrade for backstab in the Winifred Habimox starter deck that if you succeed by 2, you get to bring take backstab back into your hand. Which I guess is valuable, but again, how many times are you going to be able to spend 3 resources to play backstab? That's really the...
And boost it to get 2 over.
You're either going to be committing cards or you're going to be spending resources to boost that test. And that's going to get pretty expensive pretty quickly. How would you rate this one?
Within the context of the core set, this is a pretty decent option for Wendy, like you were saying. If you plan on defeating the Ghoul Priest, this is probably realistically the only way that Wendy does that. But outside of those situations, I don't think this is the greatest Skids card. It's just a little too expensive for Skids. So I'd give it a 0. I think as your card pool expands, there might be a couple of investigators that you consider taking this card in. But apart from that, it's okay.
Yeah, Wendy feels like the proper home for this, because Wendy is not spending her resources and actions on 45 automatic or machete like Skids is. So Wendy, yeah, it's like it's an event that takes the place of a weapon slot. So I think that's, you can, and if you build Wendy in such a way that you have like 9 assets, then I think backstab is pretty affordable for her. So I'd also give it a 0. Not something for primary fighters to use. But I think if you just want, you know, once a game, you want to be able to do 3 damage to something, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think this one's a 0 for me as well. It has come in handy when I've been playing Wendy just to take something out that I can't necessarily evade or don't want to evade, especially a hunter that's just going to bother chase me around for the entire game. It's often better just to get rid of it. Unless I can put some distance between myself and that enemy. But I often find the biggest issue is the price. And I hate that feeling of drawing an enemy and then having backstab in my hand and then realizing I have only 1 resource in my resource pool. That is a feeling I remember all too well. And I always sort of curse this card under my breath as soon as that happens, because then you're like, well, how am I going to gain the 2 resources I need to, in order to play this card and kill this enemy without dying myself? And that, unless you're playing a big money rogue, that can often be difficult.
Yeah, the worst is being 1 short, because then you actually entertain the possibility of taking an attack of opportunity to take a resource to play backstab. That's the worst. If you're 2 short or 3 short, you just don't even think about it. But when you're 1 short, you're like, should I do it? And that's just the worst, right, Nate?
Those are the times that you do that, and then you fail that skill test, and then it was all for naught.
Yeah, I've spent 2 actions. I've taken like 4 damage.
The next card in the box is Sneak Attack. It is also an event that costs 2 resources. It has intellect and combat skill icons. The tactic trait: deal 2 damage to an exhausted enemy at your location. What do you guys think about this one?
I think Sneak Attack is a bit of a trap. It feels like a card that should be pretty good. It's 2 free damage, but it has to be to an exhausted enemy, which means you've already dealt with it. And in Wendy, why don't you just move? Like, you're probably not gonna kill that enemy anyway. And in Skids, you have other options. Like, if you think about this is one bullet of a 45 automatic, essentially. And it's like, do you want to pay two resources for one bullet of a 45 automatic, or do you just want to shoot it with your first action?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's because it takes, you have to evade it, which deals with the enemy for the turn, and then you have to spend a couple to deal two damage to it. So it's like you've spent two actions and two resources to deal two damage when you could have just swung with a machete or swung with a baseball bat. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's that setup that requ that's required. Yeah, I have a feeling there's some, I feel like there's some big brain tricks with this, but you have to like really, they're like really narrow. Like other ways to exhaust enemies, that sort of stuff. And then there's also the fact that it's an exhausted enemy at your location, so you can exhaust, you can attack, you can sneak attack something that someone else has evaded. But that also
Yeah.
assumes that you're not the primary evader, which you probably are if you're running sneak attack. You know,
Yeah, especially in the core
it's like,
set, it's chances are you're either playing, I mean, you're playing Wendy or Skids and they've evaded it. Certainly it's not going to be Roland who's doing that,
Yeah, I know.
and Daisy's probably got better things to do, I mean, Agnes is, I guess, a possibility as well. But
Jilly Agnes, I'm telling you.
But I guess it's the setup, I think, on this one that is the biggest issue, is that I often find when you're given the choice of exhausting an enemy, you're probably going to move away or leave it behind, or even if you don't have to necessarily, if you don't have the time to move away this particular turn, you'll probably just exhaust it again next turn, evade it again, exhaust it, and then move away that turn. I mean, this is probably a better Wendy card than a Skids card because, again, she, with her abysmal combat skill, she doesn't really have the ability to deal damage consistently. So at least this gives her an option to take out a hunter or something that is particularly bad. It is nice that this deals damage to pretty much any enemy. So if you do evade the ghoul priest, there's another two damage. So between, if you're playing solo, Wendy can kill the ghoul priest between this and a backstab. It's a lot of resources, but if you know it's coming, you can save those resources and actually have a chance to take out a boss without requiring a weapon, which is useful. There is a level two upgrade for sneak attack that's available in the Unspeakable Oath Mythos pack.
Well, that one's a lot better actually, because the thing that you're hitting doesn't have to be evaded. It can be engaged with someone else, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I will say that this card is very good at dealing with a particularly nasty cultist in the second scenario. I won't spoil too much, but he is very annoying and he's a must deal with target. And Wendy and Sneak Attack are very good at dealing with that specific issue.
How would you rate Sneak Attack?
I think within the context of the core box, it's probably an Elder thing. And within the context of the larger set, probably still an older thing. There's just, there isn't a lot of investigators that can take this that really want this card. If you're evading enemies, that's generally what you're sticking to, and you may play some sort of backup weapon, but I think if you're looking for a card like Sneak Attack, I think Backstab often does the same thing but better.
Yeah, I'd say it's another thing as well. I think in the core, if you're playing Wendy, there's a good case to doing two backstabs and two sneak attacks. Just so, because you, because your weapons are terrible and you don't want to be running Switchblade instead. Yeah, and I guess if you're just running light on assets, then I think you have room for sneak attack. But if you're like Skids, you don't, because you have 45 automatics that do the job more consistently and with one action at a time instead of having to spend two.
Yeah, I was wavering between a zero and an elder thing, and I was trying to think back to how many times I've actually played sneak attack successfully over the years, and I don't think it has happened all that often. I think when I started building decks, it was a card that I gravitated to with the smaller card pool a lot, and then just never ended up using it. It would sit in my hand because either the situation wasn't right, or it was simply easier just to move off and run away from the enemy rather than taking another action to deal with it. So give this one an elder thing as well. That brings us to the rogue skill in the box. This is Opportunist. It has one wild skill icon, the innate trait. Commit only to a skill test you are performing. If you succeed by three or more, return Opportunist to your hand after this test instead of discarding it. I have a real soft spot for this card. I don't like this card.
Is it the haircut of the artwork?
I don't know. I really like the idea of being able to commit this skill and then pulling it back to your hand repeatedly. This card is not the right version of it. The level 2 upgrade from the Undimensioned and Unseen Mythos pack is a lot better because it reduces the succeed by to a 2. So you actually can reasonably do it sometimes. But I don't know. I just have a soft spot for this card. I keep trying to make it work, and more often than not, it just ends up disappointing me because occasionally you can pull off the succeed by 3, and then you don't, and you end up discarding Opportunist, and you have nothing to show for it.
I think that depends on what you mean, nothing to show for it. If you're succeeding that test, it did its job, I think. Opportunist is interesting. I think it's a much better card in Wendy, because Wendy has 4 willpower, so there's a chance that you could commit this to, say, a Rotting Remains or a test of Frozen Fear, and then maybe you draw a +1 or an Elder Sign or a 0 or something, and you put this back into your hand, and then you get to use it one more time. I think that's plenty of value for it, for just a single card, and if you happen to get it twice, that's great. It's also worth noting, I think, that this is one of the only cards with a wild skill icon in the core set, other than there aren't many, and once you have lockpicks, you can pretty reliably trigger this.
Personally, I think this card's a trap, because personally, I think in like just about all circumstances, you're probably better off, well, running Unexpected Courage, because it's 2 wild icons.
Yeah.
Running Lucky in Wendy, or running like any of the 4 neutral skills, Overpower, Guts, Manual Dexterity, Perception, because those give you 2 icons, and then you get to replace the card just for succeeding. You don't have to succeed by 3, which is...
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I would definitely take the neutral skills over Opportunist, but you know, within the confines of just the revised core set, your options are fairly limited, and especially if you're playing both Wendy and Skids, you know, somebody's going to have to take this card. And
yeah,
I think
someone's going to have to take it. Yeah.
You know, I think his card, and I think his card's 29 and 30. This is plenty serviceable.
I think the issue that you can run into with this card is that, especially with the addition of lockpicks to the revised core set, I mean, Skids and Wendy are both going to be killing it on their tests with lockpicks, and so you don't really need to commit Opportunist to those tests, and that's the biggest issue with it. It's like, sure, you get it back, but you didn't really need to commit it in the first place. It's all the other tests that you want to commit this to and try to get it back that are going to be a lot harder to succeed by 3, and that's why I just... Succeeding by 3 consistently is very difficult within the context of the revised core, and I prefer the level 2 upgrade because it reduces that succeed to 2, and then you actually can be in situations where you commit Opportunist, you pass the test that you didn't think you were going to pass by 2, you get the card back, and then you get to do it again, which is quite nice. Sometimes I get on a roll with this card and I'm able to succeed by 3 a couple times, but more often than not, it's just like, I think if you get one use out of this and get it back, that's pretty much what you got to be happy with. And if you think you're going to be committing this to every skill test and pulling it back, I think you're in for a rude awakening, because succeeding by 3 is just, barring agility, it's pretty tough. How would you rate this one?
I think within the core set, it, for me, probably gets a 0. It's fine. It has a wild skill icon on it. I'm, like, kind of hard-pressed to give it an Elder thing at that point. Like you said, don't expect to trigger this more than once, I think, a game. You know, like you said, there's just going to be tests where You don't really need to commit this if you were already succeeding by three anyway. And the test that you really want to succeed, this isn't going to come back to your hand in those circumstances. True. So
I give it a tentacle.
Don't. Really?
Yes. It's a trap. Don't do it.
I think I'm going to settle on an elder thing. As much as I like the idea of this card, I find that it just doesn't do enough in the end. You know, it's interesting to compare this card to the other skills that are in the core set. You know, Guardians get Vicious Blow, which is amazing. Seekers get Deduction, which is amazing. And then you run into this thing, and it's kind of like, oh, that's it. It's kind of disappointing when you compare it to the other skills that are available in the box.
Yeah, I wonder if they weren't really sure how to make Succeed by Two work when they were designing the core set. And I wonder if that's an opportunist and its text is what came out of that.
Do you think this would be too powerful if it was if this was basically the level 2 version at level 0?
Mm.
No, probably not.
I don't know.
It's only one icon.
Yeah, but oftentimes you're pretty easily taking tests at 2 over. So like committing this in those circumstances just like pretty much ensures that. Like say like you, as Wendy, you take a flashlight and you investigate a 3-shroud location and you commit this, like you're 3 up on that test. So if you draw like, you know, a -1 up to a elder sign, like, I don't know. I feel like if it was 2, it would be a little too reliable.
That being said, if the token you draw was one where opportunist didn't help you succeed, period, then opportunist didn't really do anything for you.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I feel like I can see where the designers kind of tried to tread that line a little bit, because I feel like it would be really easy to be able to reliably like bring back to your hand, especially with something like Dig Deep or Physical Training, when you like commit a resource, commit this, and then you're 2 up on that test and you draw 0 and you draw it back into your hand.
Just keep in mind that we also have those neutral skill cards, which replace themselves. Opportunist also, you succeed by 3, it replaces itself with effectively another copy of Opportunist. Like, if you think about it that way, then, you know, the neutral skill cards, all you have to do is succeed. With Opportunist, you have to succeed by 3 to get another card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not better than the neutral skill cards, for sure. But, you know, I do think that if it was at 2 over, then you could pretty reasonably build around it.
That's going to do it for part 2 of our look at the rogue cards in the revised core set. Not a great deal to get excited about in this batch.
I do think that most of these cards do serve a purpose. They are role fillers. I mean, most of the cards that we looked at were, actually pretty much all of them, were enemy management options, and those are important cards to have in your deck. And while they're not the 45 or the machete, they're serviceable in certain investigators.
I think it's important to keep in mind that, especially with this batch of cards, a lot of these, I mean, at least 3 of them are events, and Wendy can get a little bit more value out of events than most investigators, because she can pitch these to a skill test and then replay them from her discard pile using her amulet. So that's something to keep in mind, both with the events in the revised core and then going forward as you expand your collection. Every rogue and survivor event has the potential to be to serve double duty in Wendy, so you need to sort of evaluate them within that context as well.
Wendy can definitely play 2 elusives, I'd say, because she can, the second copy of elusive that she doesn't need, she can pitch it to her ability or, you know, pitch it to her ability and reuse it for her amulet.
And rogues do receive, in later expansions, they do receive events that have 2 of the same icon, which is pretty great as well. So you can have, you've got cards that have 2 intellect, 2 combat, or 2 agility skill icons, so you can really leverage those to not only pass a skill test, but then recycle them with Wendy later. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.